passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hey, everybody. It is time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. And, yep, for that split second, you were like, well, that doesn't sound like Paul. And it doesn't because it's not. Ryan McGee here, ESPN senior writer, co-host of Marty McGee. Do I need to read my resume? I'm sitting in for Paul today. Paul is, as we like to say in the business, on assignment. And there's a lot of places to be on assignment because there is so much going on in the sports world, but particularly in the Southeastern Conference. And that's where we go now to tell you what is happening. It's time for headlines. Tyke Smith is moving up the NFL draft boards. If you didn't see it, you should have seen it. Underwear Olympics just a couple weeks ago. His combine workouts were off the chart. And then, of course, Pro Day. And this is all just feels like a shameless promo because he's going to join us later in the show. And we're going to ask him about that. It is so fascinating to me when these players rise and fall by what they did in these workouts. And we're going to talk to him about that because the good news for him is it's a rise and not a fall. So we'll have him on the show. All right. Also, I understand there's some basketball being played this weekend, and the SEC has a big part of that. Gamecocks unbeatable in the Final Four? Nope. Heard of Caitlin Clark? That's the headline in USA Today. And, man, what a season it has been in women's basketball. You've seen the readings. It's crazy. We're going to have a live report from the women's Final Four coming up a little bit later in the show. And how about you Tide fans down in Phoenix? This is, of course, courtesy of AL.com. We've waited our entire lives for the Final Four. Quote, I've let out a deep breath. And hopefully, if you're a Tide fan, there'll be a lot of positive deep breaths throughout the weekend. And they're in Phoenix. That's where the Tide is in the Final Four for the first time ever. And we're going to go to Phoenix now. And that is where the great Damian Fishback and the great Dari Noka are standing by with this report from Alabama's first men's Final Four.
All right, Ryan, thank you much here. We got Purdue's about to take the floor behind us. That's going to be the next team to practice. And then Alabama, and then finally the favorites, Connecticut. As we're standing out here, we're walking around, and everybody says, couldn't you go to breakfast this morning? We got a Bama fan saying, Fish, do we have a chance? Nobody thinks they have a chance.
Yeah.
You seem to think they have a chance. What is that chance?
Yeah, well, after all the upsets that college basketball has had this year, I think there's more than a chance. I heard Seth say earlier he thought about a 1 in 5 or 20% chance. I think that Alabama matches up perfectly for a team to beat UConn. And the reason being, if you look at their previous losses, Dari, Creighton on the road, right? Seton Hall, a game in which Donovan Clingan got hurt, but there were teams that were able to knock down three-point shots. Seton Hall didn't, but Creighton knocked down a plethora of shots. Alabama last game, 16 three-pointers. Not only does Alabama have a chance, I think they have a really good chance.
You think so?
Yeah.
What's it hinge on at this point? And we'll be talking about this over the next few days, and our coverage from here in Phoenix will continue for as long as Alabama's run continues, right?
Yeah.
What is the – like, Donovan Clingan is 7'2", and he's 300 pounds. And Bama doesn't have a guy like that, right?
Sure.
We're going to see Zach Edey practice here in a bit. He's 7'4", you know, 300 pounds. That's a different story. How does Alabama deal with him, with Clingan?
Well, the good news for Alabama is they've already dealt with a guy like Zach Edey. They came up a little short, Dart.
And Clingan?
But they're not unfamiliar with playing guys like Donovan Clingan. They've already played Purdue.
Okay,
they've already played Arizona. They've already played Creighton. So that's Ryan Kalkbrenner. That's Umar Ballo. That's Zach Edey. So they're not going to be unfamiliar. What they're going to have to do is, and people have talked about this, first of all, you got to get stops defensively so you can get out in front of the defense. You want him to be going extremely slow while everybody else for Alabama are speedsters. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have to make him defend defensively. You can't allow Donovan Clingan to just sit back in the paint and just rest and relax. At about, you know, 15 minutes in that second half, you want to see Donovan Clingan bending his knees. You want to see him getting a little bit tired and fatigued. if you see that, and Alabama's making shots and on the glass, Alabama will be right there.
When we're all finished with the practices here, we're going to go find a place to go watch those two women's Final Four games up in Cleveland, right? We're going to watch Dawn Staley's Gamecocks. We'll watch Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and all that.
Yeah.
That Final Four, and Alyssa Lang and Steffi are providing all kinds of great coverage from Cleveland there, is filled with great individual storylines.
Sure.
What excites you most along those lines here?
Well, you know, you think about the individual players here. I think it's the heavyweights of college basketball. You mentioned Donovan Clingan being over 7 feet, close to 300 pounds. Zach Edey, right? The same thing, 300 plus pounds against a guy like DJ Burns. And then you've got this Alabama team with little bitty skinny Grant Nelson and Nick Pringle. I think it's the David versus Goliath story. I think Alabama's the biggest story here. I really do. I think they're the David. And they've got their slingshot, which is the three-point ready.
Ready. And you say, let's draw this out. If I were to say to you, Fish, we just watched out. Let's say you didn't even watch the game, right?
Yeah.
Right? You fell asleep in your room and you didn't wake up, which will never happen. Fish, Bama won, Bama won. You would say, Dari, I bet they hit blank number of threes. What would that number be?
Yeah, it's got to be double digits. I would probably say 12 to 13 three-pointers, which we know, you know, they've done on a regular basis all year. I think they got to score 90 points. And if they do that, then they will defend at a high level. They will make sure that they get Donovan Clingan in foul trouble or expose him defensively. And then they will handle their own on the glass. They're going to lose the points in the paint.
Yeah.
That's okay. They've got to win the threes and fast break points.
There is a real people will talk about the factor of experience.
Yeah.
And this UConn team is made up of guys that were here in this, and not here, but were in this setting a year ago and successfully ran through it. And Alabama's program has never been to the Final Four, right?
Sure.
25th NCAA tournament, first Final Four.
Right.
How much does that play into what we will see tomorrow night?
A ton.
It does?
Now, there's a lot of people that are betting on these games, right? They're having fun. But when you are gambling, you love to have what they call the house's money. And I don't know if there's any team other than Alabama that has what's called the house's money. People didn't expect them. I talked to Alabama fans all across the country. No one expected them to get past the Sweet 16 in North Carolina. They have nothing to lose. And there's something that goes into that. If that game keeps close, you know, late 10, maybe 5 minutes left to go in the game, if Alabama's ahead or right there, I believe the pressure goes to UConn and Alabama begins to play with freedom. But as Danny Hurley said, they do a really good job of making sure it's not even close.
Yeah. He's got the line of the tournament to this point.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said, we know we suck in close games, so we find other ways to win. Why play a close game when you can just beat the brakes off somebody, right?
Yeah.
Beat their heads
brilliant.
In. He is, right? And that's the thing. And I know on our show a little bit later today, you're going to break down offensively what he designs and draws up that makes life so difficult for teams to defend.
Yeah.
Give me a little snippet of what you're going to be showing us today when we get this show going.
Well, because of the NBA game and the college game beginning to resemble the NBA, so many people just want to dribble drive, you know, between the legs, try to make three-point shots. That's my high school coach. Coach Danny Hurley, he sets numerous amount of screens. They go inside out, and they use all 30 seconds in the half court as good as anybody in college basketball.
One of the slowest tempos.
Yeah.
In the 300s in college basketball, and Alabama is in the top 10 in tempo. All right, Ryan, that's it from here, but we're here all weekend.
Thank you, fellas. And yes, they are there all weekend. And if you're an Alabama fan, you hope that they're all weekend and then all the way through Monday night and Tuesday morning. But yeah, it is interesting. You get the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four, and it's like, how do you stop Zach Edey? And then it's, how do you stop Caitlin Clark? And then it's, can South Carolina be beat? And then it's, can UConn be beat? It's a very similar storyline on both sides, and we're going to be talking about that. And by the way, those guys are going to talk to Nate Oates and Greg Byrne a little bit later in the show, which, by the way, congratulations to those gentlemen. They had some nice new contracts, so good for them. All right, so this is who we are going to talk to throughout the course of the Paul Feinbaum Show with me sitting in Paul's chair. It is a cavalcade of stars. Tyke Smith is going to join us 3:30 Eastern, bottom of this hour, and going to talk to us about the fact that he is moving up those charts. Top of the hour, we're going to hear from the women's Final Four. Alyssa Lang and Steffi Sorensen live from Cleveland going to join us from there. And as we keep rolling along, Pat Bradley's going to be right here. The shooter! He's been in a lot of big games, and he'll understand what it means to win those big games, and he'll join us here on the set to talk about it. And in the final hour, I have convinced Marty Smith to call into the show, and when he calls in, we will be just a little more than 12 hours from our show on Saturday morning. So if you like Marty McGee, stick around. If you don't, there's something wrong with you anyway. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show, y'all. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. Man, I used to do this all the time, and it's been a minute. Like, it's good to be back. And it's, you know, they even left me presents. Like, they've left me some candy and stuff, although it's Pop Rocks. I don't know if I'm wise to throw in a big old tongue full of Pop Rocks right before you start. Speaking of a conversation that pops, maybe, we'll see. You can join us, 855-242-7285. And Bash in Boulder's on the line. Bash, welcome into Feinbaum.
Thank you for having me, Mr. McGee. How are you doing today?
I'm good, brother. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Not too bad. I'm an Alabama fan heading into this weekend for our first Final Four, so there are no complaints whatsoever. A lot of nerves, not going to lie, but if nerves mean that I'm excited, then that's the same thing. But I wanted to ask you a question about the Alabama basketball program that I asked Paul a couple weeks ago, and he kind of pushed it off and didn't really give it much feedback, so I wanted to run it by you and see if you have a different opinion. So I asked him, going back before Nate Oates took the job to be the Alabama Crimson Tide coach, how much credit does he give Avery Johnson for turning the program around? And Paul said, quote, he had nothing to do with the program today, and basically said that all the success that Alabama has had is all because of the Nate Oates. So do you think that Avery Johnson did anything to the program to turn around as well, or are you on the same side as Paul?
I think that what Avery Johnson did was he made – America aware that Alabama has a basketball program. And I don't mean that as a slight to Wimp Sanderson or anyone else. I'm just saying that I don't know that Alabama was a program anyone thought about, was a program that anyone, right. If they popped up, fine. If they had, a big game Bob on the roster, great. But I think it was like that. If they had a nice all-SEC player, fantastic. If they won 20 games, great. But I think that what Avery did was he made America aware that Alabama could be relevant in basketball. Listen, I joked earlier about I used to host the show a lot. Back when I was hosting this show, quite frequently sitting in for Paul, Avery was the coach and had him on. And I felt like, for the first time in forever – I would take phone calls about Alabama basketball. And so I don't
right.
– listen, I don't believe that there are players on the roster now that were like, oh, man, Avery's the man. He's great. But I do think that there's a subconscious, like a rising of the high profile, the low profile to higher profile of Alabama basketball. So, yeah, I give him credit for that.
I think a decent comparison going to the next level for, like, NBA teams, like the Golden State Warriors, no one had mentioned them before Mark Jackson had took the job and started coaching Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and then gets fired, and then here comes Steve Kerr, and then the team has obviously created a dynasty and has won championships, and not the level yet that Alabama has, but SEC championships still count for that part, and we have won it without Natos or, in effect, Avery Johnson.
Yeah, there is a mentality to being a great program, and that is a belief that you can be pretty good at. Listen, when I was a student at Tennessee, which is a sore subject for Alabama fans, but just it is what it is. When I was a student at Tennessee, Rod Delmonico became the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee. And for decades, and I would say this about LSU baseball before Skip Berman, it's someone who comes in and might not win a championship and might not create a bunch of first-round draft picks, and Avery Johnson certainly didn't do any of those things, but what he did do was he made the building start to take the sport more seriously. And I, you know, instead of just being satisfied with, hey, we'll win 19 games and, you know, win an NIT championship or, you know, get eliminated in the first round of the tournament, whatever. The change in mentality happens when the right person is in charge. And I think that carries over even when the next coach comes in.
I agree. It also hurts, too, that your program is underneath the same athletic umbrella that one of the biggest football teams have ever had existed. So to kind of crawl up from that shadow is kind of easier said than done. And to be in this weekend in the Final Four is not, I would say, a miracle, but pretty close to it.
Yep. Now, listen, it is – I've always compared Alabama basketball to North Carolina football, right? North Carolina is a basketball school. Always has been, always going to be. It's where I grew up. It is what it is. And, you know, when a Mack Brown comes in and proves to them we can win 10 games, which he did his first go-around, and when he proves we can produce first-round draft picks like he's going to with his quarterback here in a few weeks, it's the change in mentality of we're not just this. It's what is remarkable about what Florida did, right? When Florida, the last team to win back-to-back basketball national championships, you know,
they're also
winning football national championships. And it's why what Michigan has done over the years. Any school that can be really great at the top two men's sports, the revenue producers, if you can be good at both at the same time, there's a reason that it never happens because it's really, really hard. It's really difficult. And so, yeah, I think if you can improve just by a percentage the number of people in your fan base and in your building who think, oh, yeah, we could probably be competitive at basketball. It could be fun. You know, I think there's something to that.
I agree, Mr. McGee. Thank you so much for taking my call. This was a wonderful experience. I was a little nervous coming in because we never had a conversation before, but absolutely 5 stars. You're a great guest host, and best of luck to you. Roll Dan Todd.
There you go, Bash. I think Bash might be my new best friend. Usually it's the opposite. I don't want to talk to him. It's the Jim rule, right? Jim, back when I used social, would never call in, wouldn't listen to the show when I was on it. I'm sure he's not listening today. I don't care. Never have. But it's that, you know, usually it's a letdown. Oh, it's McGee, right? And McGee. So my brackets right now in the ESPN Tournament Challenge, men's and women, my men's bracket is in the toilet like everyone else's. I think I had Tennessee, North Carolina. I had Houston winning it all. My women's bracket's killing it. But the name of my brackets, both, is Ann McGee. Because a lot of people think that's my first name because of Marty Ann McGee. So I'm sure Bash thought that too. All right, let's keep the good vibes rolling. DeBam is on the line. DeBam, welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I was wanting to talk to Paul, but you're better than Paul. You have your own rattling on talk show, Mr. McGee.
I appreciate that, DeBam.
You got it, man. Listen, I ain't never seen Alabama be in the Final Four in basketball, and I've always been a football fan. But now you got to be for the Tide. And I got this one thing going on with my dentist. If Alabama wins the national title, I get the laughing gas for the rest of my life, Mr. McGee. And I can watch her show and laugh and laugh and laugh. What do you think, Mr. McGee?
I think there are definitely shows that I could use a little laughing gas just to get through. And but yeah, no, I feel that. You made a bet with your dentist.
No, I just went in. I just go in as my normal self, which is I'm a talker.
Yeah.
And you're a talker, too. So I go in talking my Alabama stuff. He's a Razorback fan. I said, we're in the Elite Eight. I said, and he said, if y'all win the national title, you'll give me the gas.
There you go.
So, you know, you can't argue with that, can you, Mr. McGee?
You cannot. There are a lot of callers out here into this show that could use a little laughing gas. Just a little something. Just a little,
tell you what, Paul's getting bashed by his number one callers from, you know, the Monkey Man from Auburn or whatever you want to call him. I mean, he's just getting all his number one callers from this whatever has just been calling in and just bashing him. And, you know, I don't understand why he just don't stand up for his skinny self and tell him, hey, I don't need you anymore. Go call somebody else, you know? What do you think, Mr. McGee?
Is Monkey Man, that's I-Man, I'm assuming, Monkey Man?
I want to call him Ass Man because he told Paul to kiss his ass. I mean, is this a family-run show and you got your caller calling in, all he wants to talk about is those little fellas? And those little fellas and Nick Sabanitis, and he don't like what Paul said.
Are we 100% sure the band's not on the gas right now?
Hey, I'm always on the gas. Always on the gas.
All right, brother. I appreciate
the
call.
On.
We got to pay bills, and I look forward to – you know what? If Alabama wins, the first thing I'm going to think is the band is going to have him a good Tuesday. Go roll out there, son.
You damn right. Roll Tide, Ryan. Roll Tide.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was already on the gas. He didn't need any. He's on the gas and on the gas. Okay, speaking of someone who was on the gas in his workouts, Tyke Smith is going to join us as he's rising up those NFL draft lists. It's the Paul Finebaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Oh, spring football time, man. Auburn has A-Day on Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern. That'll be on ESPN Plus, ESPN, the SEC Network Plus, spring football. We got it covered, but you know what? We're going to talk not about Auburn. We're going to talk about one of their two arch rivals just over the state line there, the Georgia Bulldogs. And joining us now is a man who is a huge cog in a wheel that won a couple rings, Tyke Smith. Welcome into Finebaum, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Hey, congratulations on what has been, I mean, a great college career, obviously, winning championships. But what you've done over the last couple months and to watch your name move up those charts, those NFL draft charts, what has this experience been like for you going through workouts and being watched and ask questions?
Definitely been a blessing just to go out there and be able to showcase my talent and my ability, and then going to the combine, being able to answer any questions that didn't have answers to them as far as like how fast I was going to run or how I was going to test.
All right, so be honest. What's the weirdest question you got?
During the interview process?
Yeah.
I ain't really getting nowhere. Okay. Questions.
All right. Nobody want to know, like, if you're a tree, what kind of tree would you be, and all that kind of psychological stuff.
Nah.
So take us in that room. What are those interviews like? What kind of questions are you getting?
Basically, I'm getting asked about like my background with me growing up in Philadelphia, and then where do I see myself at the next level? Is that a safety or as a nickel?
What are you telling them?
I tell them I can play either one. Just my versatility. I think that's kind of who make me who I am, my versatility.
What is the combine experience like? I've talked to my friends and colleagues at ESPN that went through that. What was that experience? I call it the underwear Olympics, right? What was that experience like for you?
Definitely different, going through all the medical stuff, all the meetings, real busy throughout the week. And then I think once we got to the testing day, that's when everything was like, and then we finally here, and I had a breather after that.
Tyke Smith joining us here on the Paul Finebaum Show. And I'm curious, you spent 5 years in college football. And obviously were injured for part of that, but you started at West Virginia, finished up at Georgia. There are a lot of people who just want to get through a couple of years of college football and move on to the next level. What would you say to people like that with your 5 years of experience? What do you think you've learned being in college football as long as you have?
I think definitely the mature side of it, knowing how to approach the meetings and knowing how to adapt to different environments. Me going from West Virginia to Georgia was definitely a big jump in a different environment than what I'm from. Going to Georgia was definitely my first time down south, so getting used to that weather and then the structure that Coach Smart had with the program, like how he ran it.
All right, you're a Philadelphia guy. You said it. I see there's a West Virginia picture hanging on the wall back there behind you. I know you enjoyed your time in Morgantown. I love that place. But I know you also enjoyed your time in Athens. A lot of people want to bang on the transfer portal. What would you say to them? Because I think you've had two good experiences and have had a great transfer portal experience. What would you say to those folks?
No, I think the transfer portal definitely could help you, but it also hurt you. But I feel like me going into the transfer portal was the best situation for me and my future. And that picture back there, I'm up at my high school. So that picture in the back is from when my high school went to a 7-on-7 tournament and won a championship there. So that's why that picture is right there.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, that's a great place to watch a football game, that place, when they get turned up, just like it is down between the hedges. All right, so what do you think it is going to be like for you when that draft finally starts and you wait to hear your name called?
It's going to be a good experience for me to finally know what I work for will finally be coming true. And then me being able to spend that time with my family, like being able to change the outcome of my family. Then also being able to spend that moment with my daughter.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I mean, as a dad, as a dad of a daughter, I can tell you, it changes your world, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, all right, so I know the Georgia fans are listening, and I know they're already thinking about a spring practice starts. What are they going to expect from their team this fall? All right, tell us what we're going to see from the Dogs in 2024.
I think it's going to be the same. I don't think the Dynasty is going to go nowhere. I think Coach Smart will do a real good job putting everybody in the right position to be successful and keep the program going, and then just looking for the young guys to get the opportunity to showcase what they could do.
Is it going to be weird? I mean, is it weird that they've started practice now and you're not a part of it?
Yeah, like, so when I was up there for the spring practice, it just was definitely weird. Like, me not being out there practicing, but hearing Coach Smart going to everybody on the microphone.
Yeah, you're like, am I supposed to gear up? They're like, nope, not with us.
Yeah, so, like, well, it'd be me and a couple other players there, so he'd be saying, like, stuff to us on the microphone with us just out there watching.
Hey, I love me some Kirby Smart. What's your favorite Kirby Smart moment during your time in Georgia?
I think just when I got there, so I didn't really know how practice was set up, so I was new to it. So I'm sitting there trying to follow Lewis Seen around throughout practice, going from one practice station to another practice station. And then Coach Smart just started snapping on us for no reason and then made it seem like I was out of shape and all that because I wasn't running to the next station, even though I didn't know where I was going.
All right. Now, I've asked him this because he and I are the same age, right? I was a student at Tennessee. I watched him play. And in fact, I remember when Will Muschamp was playing. Do those guys ever pull out the film and go, all right, we were pretty good in the backfield, too. And I know Kirby Smart can't get more than 10 minutes without reminding everybody that he intercepted Peyton Manning, right?
No, yeah. So he definitely would come in meetings and kind of hold that over here. Like, I had such and such picks and all that. So he'd definitely be holding that over here when he come in the DB meeting room. But a couple of freshmen had put together like a highlight reel of Coach Smart just getting like ran over and all the other stuff. So that was kind of funny.
I need that. I'm going to text Muschamp. I need a copy of that immediately. I got to see that. That's awesome, dude. Hey, listen, Tyke Smith, what are you wearing? What are you wearing on draft day? That's always the question.
I ain't even planned draft day yet, so just trying to see where everything at. And I'll talk it over with my team and then plan like that. Like, I was just taking it step by step right now. And then as it get closer, I will start planning.
All right, so are you an understated guy, or are you just going to go full on, like, something we never seen before?
No, I ain't done that. I don't want too much attention.
Okay. No, I respect that, because I think some dudes, it feels very try hard, right? When they got a suit on, you're like, dude, where did that material even come from?
No, that ain't me.
Yeah, no, I like that. Well, hey, listen, man, best of luck to you. Can't wait to hear your name called. It's been a pleasure to watch you play for the Bulldogs. And Tyke Smith, it's going to be a pleasure to watch you play to the next level, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, thank you. Here you go, y'all. 4.48 at the Combine. If you don't know, that's moving. And when I talk to NFL personnel people, when I talk to NFL scouts, what they talk about is it's not just the speed and the acceleration, it's what he does with it at the end of it, because he will lay you out. And what they also talk about is this next level intelligence. And I say this all the time. You cannot play college football at the highest level. And Georgia is the highest level. You cannot play college football at the highest level and not have just a different kind of mind. And I don't know that was always the case. I certainly know it wasn't the case. No offense to the people I went to school with. It wasn't the case 25, 30 years ago. And now you have to play at that level, that cerebral level, all the time. And when I talk to NFL personnel, those interviews that he's talking about, when they left those interviews, they were impressed with Tyke Smith. And the reports they're getting – what I'm told is it's not just about the physicality. It's not just about the speed. It's not just about the fact that he played at a high level at two different Power 5 schools, or, you know, that he overcame an ACL injury. It's the fact that he has a next-level processing ability when it comes to playing defense. And that's how you walk into the National Football League and start playing immediately, and that is why he's moving up those charts. All right, you can join us right here, as Tyke just did, on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Give us a call, 855-242-7285. That's, of course, it just spells Paul. And you can hit us up on all the social medias. And I'm at ESPN McGee if you'd like to tell me what a terrible job I'm doing. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Your calls straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
And we're back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show here in the palatial SEC Network studios. I am Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. It's like a Marty McGee warm-up. Usually we come crashing in to do Marty McGee shows at 7 a.m. Eastern. We get there about 6:59, 30, and it takes a second or two for my voice to get going. Now I'm warmed up. It's like a big vocal exercise, this show. By the way, if you're watching on SEC Network, they show this little highlight clip thing, and they show the thing with Paul, and they put, like, the social media filter on him. I don't like those things. Like you look up on the monitor when we're doing SEC Nation and Marty McGee, and you look up and you see yourself on the thing. I mean, it's cool, but it's weird. Like, it freaks me out. Like, I think maybe I'm on the same gas. Like, I did a bet with my dentist, and I'm on the gas, the funny gas. Never gets old, by the way, when you're on social media and you see the people that got their kids that were on the funny gas after they got their wisdom teeth taken out. I have mine taken out, and my mom, who passed away years ago, never told me what I told her, but apparently I told her a lot of stuff. So Be careful with the gas is what I'm trying to say. You know, I went to space camp years ago in Huntsville, Alabama, so I'm going to go to Josh in Huntsville. Josh, welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Go Trash Pandas.
Hey, go Trash Pandas. I'm glad to know you went to space camp here. And another thing we have in common is I'm a big Alabama Crimson Tide football fan, but funny enough, my grandmother, great-grandfather, and my uncles all grew up in North Carolina, so I'm actually a Tar Heel basketball fan.
Wow.
So I had the Tar Heels beating my Tide, and unfortunately that didn't happen, but I'm pulling for the Crimson Tide, and I'm happy to see them get there, and it's definitely a great moment in history. But and by the way, you're doing a fantastic job. Before
Thank you,
you went to that last break, you're doing a great job for fall.
I appreciate that.
But I wanted to get your opinion on what you think the actual score will be.
It's a good question, and I'm terrible at that. I mean, as evidenced by my bracket, which is just a big pile of charcoal dust at this point. I think that what you want – if you're Alabama, is you want to be low scoring, right? What everyone's telling me is you got to hit your three-pointers and whatever else, and we're going to have Shooter in here a little bit later in the show to talk about that. But, I think it's going to be low scoring, which means that it won't be. But that's what I'm rolling with. But like I say, you don't want to ask me that because I'm not even – as evidenced by my bracket, which I can't remember who my fourth Final Four team was, but I know it wasn't Alabama. I know it wasn't Purdue, so I didn't get it right. But what do you think?
I think, you know, y'all were talking about the three-pointers a minute ago, and I think Bama's where we've got to hit those three-pointers. And if they're on point, and they're dropping threes, and they're making them like they can and should be, I think there's a good shot. I think they have a good shot at pulling the upset. It's going to be hard, but they have a shot. I think there's a definite shot.
Yeah. There you go. I appreciate the call, man, and thank you for the kind words, Josh, and also go Space Camp. Yeah, I was commander of my shuttle mission. In fact, NASA just announced yesterday they're taking new applications for astronauts, and I put this on Twitter at ESPN McGee. I said, I went to space camp. I've flown with the Thunderbirds. I've seen the right stuff like 50 times. I have a helmet. It's a race car helmet, but I have a helmet, so I could be an astronaut in my mind as long as there's no math involved. But, yeah, my bracket – Brands, what'd you just say? You said my – yeah, that was my bracket. He's right. Brent Ramsey, my bracket was I picked all four. No, I did not pick all four. But to the point about winning. All right, so earlier this week, I wrote a story for ESPN.com. I did grow up in North Carolina. I grew up in Raleigh. I grew up a North Carolina State fan as a kid. I was in middle school when State made their amazing run to the national championship in 1983. So I went up to Raleigh on Monday and Tuesday and part of Wednesday to work on this piece, this idea of getting hot at the right time and making a run, and what I learned from the 83 NC State team, and quite frankly, what we're learning from Alabama, and what we're learning from the 2024 NC State team, there's no reason not to think they win the games because they weren't supposed to win the ones they won, not this year for Alabama, and certainly not this year for NC State, and so. We can do the X's and O's all we want, and again, we'll have Shooter in here a little bit later to talk to him about it, but the reality is momentum is real. And when you've won as many games in a row now as NC State has, 9, and Bama, then I think you can absolutely win the games. And the one time, right, it's right. Everything in the world comes back to Rocky IV for me. And in Rocky IV, what happens when Rocky finally – gets a good shot in on Ivan Drago. He's cut. He bleeds. And I'll never forget the corner man yells, see, he's human. He's not a machine. He bleeds. And so we have seen with the South Carolina women's team that as invincible as they have seemed, they've been pushed. They've been pushed a couple of times hard in this postseason. And so if you get pushed and you start to rattle, Dawn Staley said this, after their near loss, I guess it was in the second round. And she said, we started playing hero ball. You get a 20-something point lead, and you start thinking you're a hero. And she said she looked at her team when suddenly it's a single-digit game in the closing minutes. She goes, okay, how's this working out for you? You want to start playing now? And when the reality sets in, oh, we can be beat, what do you do with that? And we'll see, what happens with UConn, because it's a team that doesn't believe they can be beat. All right, we're going to continue to talk hoops. Straight ahead, we're talking women's hoops. I'm at NC State. They got a team in both Final Fours. And Alyssa Lang and Steffi Sorensen are on site in Cleveland and going to join us to talk about it. And, of course, those undefeated Gamecocks. And let's see what they are going to do with that. And what does that mean for Dawn Staley's legacy if the Gamecocks win a championship? And what if they lose the championship? We'll see. Talking hoops with Alyssa and Steffi straight ahead. It's Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.